the true desert of sin, and that desert I calmly, deliberately, and solemnly declare is and can be nothing less than eternal exclusion from the presence of God and the Lamb, eternal torment in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. But eternal hallelujahs to the God of all grace. Instead of sending us to hell because of our sins, He sent His Son to be the propitiation for those sins. And in the unfolding of the marvelous plan of redemption, we see a holy God dealing with the question of our sins and executing judgment upon them in the person of His well-beloved, eternal, and co-equal Son, in order that the full flood tide of His love might flow down into our hearts. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Now this must give peace to the conscience, if only it be received in the simplicity of faith. How it is possible for a person to believe that God has satisfied Himself as to his sins and not have peace? If God says to us, "Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more," what could we desire further as a basis of peace for our conscience? If God assures me that all my sins are blotted out as a thick cloud, that they are cast behind His back, forever gone from His sight, should I not have peace? If He shows me the man who bore my sins on the cross, now crowned at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens, ought not my soul to enter into perfect rest as to the question of my sins? Most assuredly. For how, let me ask, did Christ reach the place where He now fills on the throne of God? Was it as God over all, blessed forever? No, for He was always that. Was it as the eternal Son of the Father? No, He was ever that, ever in the bosom of the Father, the object of the Father's eternal and ineffable delight. Was it as a spotless, holy, perfect man, whose nature was absolutely pure, perfectly free from sin? No, for that in character, and on that ground, He could at any moment, between the manger and the cross, have claimed a place at the right hand of God. How was it then? Eternal praise to the God of all grace. It was as the one who had by His death accomplished the glorious work of redemption, the one who had stood charged with the full weight of our sins. He, one who had perfectly satisfied all the righteous claims of that throne on which He now sits. This is a grand cardinal point for the anxious reader to seize. It cannot fail to emancipate the heart and tranquilize the conscience. We cannot possibly behold by faith the man who was nailed to the tree, now crowned on the throne, and not have peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ having taken